Today, I just want to open up with a word of prayer, and then I want to talk about, shortly, about missions and what missions means in the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I just praise you and I thank you for how wonderful you are. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth and just died on the cross for it, our sins, Lord, and that you rose again to give us victory, to give us power, to live the kingdom of God right now, that we don't have to wait for heaven, that right now the kingdom of God can be in us and work through us. Lord, I just pray that you will move me out of the way, that you will speak through me as I present your word. Let me present it clear. I just pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. If you have your Bibles, I want to start out and look at the very beginning of missions. The very beginning of missions. If you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3. If everyone has their Bibles, give you guys time. Okay. It says here in Acts chapter 2 and 3, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." As you see here in the book of Acts, this was the very first missionary journey of Paul, where he was being sent out. And it says, after they were fasting and worshiping the Lord, just like today, I don't know how you guys were, but man, I was getting caught up in worship. I was loving it. And they were sitting there worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul." And I want us now to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, and I want you guys to see what that means to be set apart, what Paul talked about. In 2 Corinthians, he gives us, and we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you all can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2:4, and we'll be looking at the whole chapter, but I'll just be breaking it up into different points. First point that I want you guys to see is what Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 2. He says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this mystery, that we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth to train the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And what I want to talk about is the first point is, in missions, the first thing that Paul taught was, don't distort the gospel. Plainly present the truth. And what I mean by that is, when I was at Mall of America, it was amazing yesterday. I was at Barnes & Noble's, the bookstore there. And as I was looking through all these books, it was amazing, because there were some that were like pro-Bush, pro-Kerry. It was like, what are the author you wanted to pick up? I mean, it had all the current events. And I'm looking through them and I'm like, this could be really confusing. Because you could pick up one book and it completely bash, you know, Kerry. And then you pick up another book and it completely bash George Bush. Or it would completely bash the whole war in Iraq right now that is very real to us, because it touches our hearts. Because our servicemen are over there, servicemen and women over there, and they're losing their lives. And whenever someone loses their lives and there's a war going on, that's very personal to us. And it touches us and it concerns us. And it's amazing because you have all these writers writing about that they know the truth. And I'm sitting there looking through them and I'm like going, what is the truth? Who is really right? Is Kerry right? Is Bush right? Is the war in Iraq, should we be there? Should we not be there? And it's amazing because these are very important issues to us. I mean, with the presidential elections coming up, they're important issues and they should be to us. But it's amazing because you look at it and you're like, what is truth? Who is really right? And when Paul came and he spoke to the people at that time had the same problems as we do today. It's like Solomon said a long time ago, there's nothing new under the sun. And that during this time, they were having the same issues. And what Paul did is he came in and he says, you know what? I'm going to teach one thing, and I'm going to teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that He rose again. And he kept with that. And that he would speak it to the point where he wasn't trying to make money. He wasn't trying to have his own agendas. He didn't want himself to be lifted up. Even in the Gospels, you will see in Corinthians where they said, where Paul said, you would gouge your eyes out for me because you are so into me as a man. But it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about any of us. The whole point in missions is don't distort the gospel. It's not about us. It's about what Christ did for us and what He wants to do through you and through me. And if you're, and every one of us is called to be a missionary wherever you're at. God has called you. But please don't distort the gospel. Speak plainly Jesus Christ. And the second point I want to make is in 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6, Paul goes on to speak this. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And my second point is this. As the gospel, it is veiled from those who do not believe. And it's simple as this. It's like, as I was going through and I was listening to people, I was sitting there at Barnes & Noble, and it's kind of funny because I picked up a Life Application Bible that I really wanted, the New Translation. And I'm just sitting there and I'm drinking my mocha and my coffee, and I was in there about an hour, and people were just coming by. And we're just like angry. Even like the guard was like, are you done yet? You know, because people would be walking by like, how dare you read the Bible in the middle of Barnes & Noble, you know. And because they were talking about all these other issues, and I'm just sitting there, and it kind of made me smile because I'm just like, not because I was better. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, you know, look at me, super Christian. I got my Bible, and I'm gonna beat everyone over the head with the Bible. It was just funny because I'm reading in the Word, and then the Word was coming to life just around me as I was reading, and I was just praising God and thanking God about it. But the biggest thing is what I see and for my own life and working at Christian Friendliness. And in the very beginning, if you look at Cain and Abel, God had a plan to have a relationship with him, a personal relationship. And then, well, before Cain and Abel, and Adam and Eve, God said, look, I want to have fellowship with you. And here are the rules. You can eat from any tree in this whole garden, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat from the tree of life. You can eat from all these other trees. But please don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat from it, you're going to surely die. And what did they do? They ate it. And when they ate from it, Did they die physically? No. They died spiritually, but they were separated from God. And then you see the next two people that come on the earth, Cain and Abel, first two teenagers, as I'd like to say, because I think of them as teenagers. And here is, God says, okay, present to me a blessing, a gift. And Abel comes up and he presents his gift to God. And then Cain comes up and he presents his gift. And God says, you know what, Cain? You didn't give me the best. And Cain couldn't take that. He could not take it. And with it, God said, you know what, Cain? Be careful. Be careful. Because, you know what, Cain? I don't love you any less than I love Abel. All I'm trying to do, Cain, is tell you the truth. You didn't give me the best. And you know what? That's what God says to us every day. And a lot of times we are just like Cain and Abel. Is that God comes and He confronts you and says, what are you doing with your one and only life that I've given you? Are you giving God your very best? Are you taking your life that you live right now, and are you giving God your best? Or are you just giving Him the leftovers? Or you like Cain? Cain did present an offering, and we do. We present our offering. Some of you may go to church every Sunday. But is that your best? I don't know. Whatever God has for you, you know. Because God personally meets us and speaks to us about what your calling is and what God wants to do in your life. And I pray that you're doing what God wants you to do, because the greatest place to be is where God wants you to be. Not where you want to be, but where God wants you to be. And what happened is, He said, you know what? Why are your face downcast, Cain? He said, why? He says, sin is crouching at your door. Don't let it master you. But he couldn't get over it. He called his brother out in the field, and I could just imagine the scene. I just picture it. You know, probably tricked him. I think of Cain as being the older brother, calling Abel out and saying, okay, come here, you know, come and see my sheep. And while he's looking down, he's like, look how nice it. All of a sudden, you know, just rose up and just killed him. And God came and said, you know what, Cain? You sinned. And there's going to be consequence for it. And what did Cain do? He whined. Oh, God, that's too harsh a punishment. God said, you know what? I spoke to you. I told you the truth. I said, don't let sin master you. You let it master you. Now the consequences come. And now Cain's like the rest of his life, he wandered the earth whining about it. And you know what? I see the same thing I do. And I don't know if you do it. It's like God speaks to you and He says, you know what? If you do what is wrong, there's going to be consequences to it. And that's what He says to what Paul is talking about here in the missions. He says, you know what? The gospel is veiled to those who don't want to believe. Jesus Christ came to this earth, paid the penalty for every one of our sins. And not only paid the penalty on the cross, but rose again so that same power can dwell in us. And if we don't have it, it's not because of what God did, but it's not because we received it and let God fully use, go through us. And if we do what is wrong, like it says here, it's like, it's going to be veiled. God's not going to force Himself on you. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. And it says here that the true light will shine. And the third point I want to get to is getting to Christ is revealed in us. And I love this part. Starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure, the jars of clay, to show that all the surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed or perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we know, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. My third point is Christ is revealed in us. If you guys look at Paul's life through the Bible, a missionary journey wasn't easy. If you read about it, it talks about how he was shipwrecked, he floated in the sea, he was stoned, what they would say, to death. Some scholars say whether he was dead or not, they drug him out of the city. He went back into the city to preach again. And what I want to ask you guys is this. This is my point that I want to make. Are you in the arena? Is persecution coming to you? What I mean by in the arena, are you out there fighting the good fight for Jesus Christ? Not beating people up, not condemning people or judging people, but is your light shining through your life that people see your life in the way that the joy of the Lord is in you, that they will ask questions? That if they don't believe and they're away from that, that you're praying for those people at work. You're praying for your people, your loved ones at home. Are you in the arena? Do you really care about the lost? Because that's one thing that God has put on my heart being at Christian Friendliness, is I care about the lost. I care about the people who most people do not want to deal with. And let's face it, most people do not want to deal with teenagers. Most people don't, because they say they're hard-headed, they don't listen, they're defiant. And you know what? Maybe so, but God loves them the same as He loves you and me. And the persecution that I have received at CF is nothing paired to what God is going to reward me with. And it's amazing, because I've seen countless times. First time I came to Christian Friendliness, amazing thing happened. As I was putting away my dishes, as I moved down into Rock Island, I heard gunshots. And as I heard the guns going off, there were kids scattering into my yard. And my first reaction was, because of first aid training, was to go out there and see what was going on. But my legs, luckily my mind caught up with my legs, and I was thinking, whoa, I'm the only white person here. And I just moved in, and I don't know what's going on, so I'm going to go call 911 instead. So instead of running outside and getting in trouble. But it was amazing, because as I was moving in, a girl got shot in the head from some other girls, and she got killed that night. And one of the most amazing things is the girls that actually shot that girl in the head, I was able to visit her in jail. And when I visited her, I was able to speak to her about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember her breaking down and praying. And she says, you know what? Out of all the pastors and all the people that were in the community that she knew, because I was brand new to the community, you are the only one who came to pray with me, to, you know, care about me. Everyone else was like, she did the crime, let her pay the penalty. And I'll let you know that it was one of the most neatest times sitting there in Rock Island County Jail on a jail cell floor praying for a person, because they were broken. That was the last straw in their lives. And she was even on suicide watch, because she talked about, I'm just going to end my life. And I said, you know what? Christ loves you very, very much. And He has a plan for you. And I want you guys to think about your own life. What are you doing with your life? Are you in the arena of what God wants you to do? And the final point that I want to make is this, and this is what I love. When Paul ends with this, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And the fourth point I want to make is this. The reward outweighs the suffering. You guys, Paul knew that. That's the reason why he did the missionary journeys. When he would come back, he couldn't wait to go and talk to another person. If you read in the Gospels, he says, "I'm an ambassador in chains for Jesus Christ." That I can't do enough for Christ. Because all the stuff, all the suffering that he was going through outweighed the persecution. And I want you guys to think about that. The greatest thing about serving Jesus Christ is no matter what you go through, the reward, the blessings that you get right now, not just when you go to heaven, right now, of living your life for Jesus Christ far outweighs not having Christ in your life. I remember when I was in the world, I tried so many ways to find happiness or to try to find what was the thing. And I would smoke weed and I would have sex and I would do all these things to try to find joy and happiness. And I can tell you that leading someone to Christ far outweighs any time of ever getting high or ever sleeping around or ever going to a party. That the reward of seeing someone's life be transformed. And that's one thing that's been great at Christian Friendliness. This is my 11th year being at Christian Friendliness. And one of the neatest things is one of the young men, when I first met him, Chris Britton, he came over, I invited him over to a Super Bowl party. And him and his friends came over to my house and, you know, brought liquor. They went upstairs. They were partying. They were drunk. And they're thinking that I wouldn't know, but they didn't know my past. I knew right away. They were drunk and liquor and all of that. And it was one of the most amazing things, because when I went over to Chris's house to confront him, Chris even tells a testimony that this time, instead of me just stopping and dropping him off in the van, I got out of the van. And Chris was like, "Oh no, what is going to happen now?" And I walked over to him and I said, "Chris, you know what? I care about you so much and I don't want to kick you out of Christian Friendliness. But these actions and what you did are wrong." And that was a turning point in Chris's life, to see him start understanding that Jesus loved him because someone else loved him, even though they were wrong. And now Chris is going to be graduating from Judson College, and he's going to be coming back to work at Christian Friendliness at camp these next 2 years. And it's so neat to see all the persecution that I don't even call it persecution, but just the journey that I went through with Chris outweighs the reward of seeing that young man. He is such a young man in the Lord. And with that, I want to close.